translation. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, the third big branch, was so dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that in his absence Lord Chaitanya himself would sometimes cry. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Gaur Gonadesh Deepika, Srila Pundarik Vidyanidhi is described to be the father of Srimati Radharani in Krishna Leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore treated him as his father. Pundarik Vidyanidhi's father was known as Baneshwara, or according to another opinion, Shuklambara Brahmachari, and his mother's name was Ganga Devi. According to one opinion, Baneshwara was a descendant of Sri Shivaram Gangopadhyaya, the original home of Pundarik Vidyanidhi was in East Bengal in a village near Dhaka named Bhagiya, which belonged to the Varendra group of Brahmin families. Sometimes these Varendra Brahmanas were at odds with another group known as the Radhiya Brahmanas. And therefore, Pundarik Vidyanidhi's family was ostracized and at that time was not living as a respectable family. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati informs us that one of the members of this family is living in Vrindavan and his name Sarod Ananda Goswami. One special characteristic of this family is that each of its members had only one son or no son at all, and therefore the family was not very expansive. There is a place in the district of Chattogram in East Bengal that is known as Hata Jari. And a short distance from this place is a village known as Mekhala Gram, in which Pundarik Vidyanidhi's forefathers lived. One can approach Mekhala Gram from Chattogram either on horseback, by bullock cart, or by steamer. The steamer station is known as Anna Purna Ghat. The birthplace of Pundarik Vidyanidhi is about 2 miles southwest of Annapurna Ghat. The temple constructed there by Pundarik Vidyanidhi is now very old and much in need of repair. Without repair, the temple may soon crumble. There are 2 inscriptions on the bricks of that temple, but they are so old that one cannot read them. There is another temple, however, 200 yards south of this one, and some people say that this is the old temple constructed by Pundarik Vidyanidhi. A lot of history here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Pundarik Vidyanidhi father, and he gave him the title Prema Nidhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi later became the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit and an intimate friend of Swarup Damodar. Gadadhar Pandit at first misunderstood Pundarik Vidyanidhi to be an ordinary pounds and shillings man. But later, upon being corrected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became his disciple. Another incident in the life of Pundarik Vidyanidhi involves his criticizing the priests of the Jagannath temple for which Jagannath Prabhu chastised him personally by slapping his cheek. This is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat Antilila chapter 7. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur informs us that there are still two living descendants of the family of Pundarik Vidyanidhi who are named Sri Hara Kumara Smitir Tirtha and Sri Krishna Kingara Vidyalankara. For further information, one should refer to the dictionary known as the Vaishnava Manjusha. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalaka Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vani Pracharine Niravasesha Shunyavadi Paschata Desha Dharine. So we are continuing this reading, and today a very descriptive purport here of all the different aspects of how to get to the birthplace of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And often we may wonder, such elaborate descriptions which are given here, and very much these descriptions are given to increase our faith. Because often you may read about the birth site of Krishna or other acharyas, but specifically the companions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, great detail has been given by our acharyas. And I remember when I first went to India in 80, to all the holy places, and when I went, I looked at some of these purports, and these railway stations existed, and some other intermediate places existed. We went to Ambika Kalna. So similarly, Prabhupada speaks about Ambika Kalna in the purports of the station, how to get there, what to do. So this is all for building faith. Equally, that, you know, these places actually existed. It wasn't just some writing, perhaps they would have been there, not been there, such descriptions. And what to speak of, as Prabhupada says in this purport, that the temple is very much in need of repair. And that was such a long time ago, in the 70s, it may not even exist. So what to speak of in 100 years, 200 years, or 500 years from now, when somebody reads the Chaitanya Charitamrita, at least some landmarks may be there for us to look at. What we have taken for granted today may not be taken for granted later. In Navadvipa, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was looking for a copy of an authentic copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It took him 11 years to get one copy. So we may take it for granted that it's here. But at that time to get an authentic copy which actually was speaking about the real principles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his real life, it took Bhaktivinoda Thakur to find an authentic copy about 11 years. So sometimes we may take it for granted. The beauty, and tomorrow we move on, I think, and Govinda's speaking tomorrow? Oh, Danimar's speaking, okay. So it goes on to speak about Gadadhar Pandit and Vakeshwara Pandit. So these are all different branches of the Chaitanya tree. The beauty of Lord Chaitanya's associates was that they demonstrated surrender and they demonstrated complete acceptance of the will of the Lord. And we'll find that in all the associates as we speak about them or have been speaking about them. Rupa and Sanatan were sent to Vrindavan, complete surrender and accepting the will of the Lord. Even Nityananda Prabhu was sent to Navadvip, accepting that will. Haridas Thakur was sent to Puri, I think. Puri, and he accepted the will of the Lord in complete surrender. In looking at the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll find that in describing these different branches, a variety of individuals are being described, but through Sachi Mata, Lord Chaitanya, he demonstrated unconditional love. Through Raghava Pandit, he demonstrated attention to detail. Through Vasudev Dutta, and Giriraj Swami was just speaking about that, Lord Chaitanya demonstrated the principle of compassion. And today we are reading about Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And through Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Lord Chaitanya, he demonstrated the principle of being non-judgmental, not judging devotees based on the externals. Normally, someone who's in the renounced order of life, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really abided by this, he is not so eager to associate with persons that are engrossed in worldly habits. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that again and again. Yet despite being in the renounced order of life, Lord Chaitanya gave his mercy to three kings. King Prataparudra, Ramananda Roy, and today we're reading about Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He gave his mercy to these three kings. And they were kings, really, in essence. And although they were royal personalities, all three of them, and in a very materialistic culture, they were also great devotees full of love for Krishna. And because of this, Lord Chaitanya pushed aside all the etiquettes that existed for someone that was in the renounced order of life to receive these devotees. And it's wonderful to see that once again that the Lord's mercy is greater than the etiquette or the law that he follows. It's an interesting principle in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that his mercy has always been greater than the law that he may follow. At least with these three individuals it was, maybe not so much with Chota Haridas or others, but specifically here he was very, very kind. We often speak of the class on Saturday and Sunday as the CC. And even outside you read, it's a CC. So, you know, CC generally means carbon copy. But we've shortened it to CC, and it's good. It's good as shorten it as to CC. And in I was reading through a new book that was coming out and looking at it, and that's Sutupa's Chaitanya Charitamrita Study Guide. It's a new book that's, I think it's being printed in the first week of January. The other book is already printed, which was put together, but the CC Study Guide, he sent it to me for proofreading, and we were looking at that. And there are do's, don'ts, and recommendations in the CC. The do's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita are, because I thought we'll have an acronym CC again. The do's are chanting and cooperation. These are the two CCs that are there in the CC. Chanting and cooperation. The don'ts, looking at the variety of pastimes that are there, is not becoming complacent. And there are hundreds of stories and examples in there. And not taking credit. So complacency and credit. These are the don'ts which are there in the CC. And the recommendation which is there in the CC are the last two C's, which is to become conscious of Krishna and to become cautious of Maya. Conscious of Krishna and cautious of the material energy of Maya. So you'll find that in this great book, and we look forward to the college is releasing the course. When does it begin? 8th of February, the course on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a study guide. So we're looking forward to that, and we'll hear about all of these things, chanting and cooperation. Not becoming complacent, not taking credit, becoming conscious of Krishna, and equally being cautious of the material energy. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada was speaking about the fact that Pundarik Vidyanidhi was considered to be a pounds and shillings man. And I was just reflecting on that term, pounds and shillings man, because in the Gaudiya Math, Srila Prabhupada was also called the pounds and shillings disciple. So often, you can never tell who a great person is by externals. Prabhupada, because he was running his business in Allahabad as a chemist, and he was traveling all over India, from there to Lucknow to Kanpur, he was always traveling in expanding his business. And whenever he would come back to Calcutta, and the class would be going on, he would be sitting on the stairs finishing his rounds. And often they would say that Abhay Babu, he is a pounds and shillings person as a disciple. So once Gaur Govinda Shastriji, who was the Sanskrit teacher for the Gaudiya Mission, and he would teach Sanskrit to everyone, he was thinking about this principle that's given, and Shishirada Gokula Nandaki. And prediction that is given that one day in every town and village the name of Lord Chaitanya will be heard in Krishna. Prithiviti Nagaradigram. So they were discussing this verse, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about it. So Guru Govinda Shastriji in that class was saying that I know it says this, but presently all the Gaudiya Math, we're all fighting each other. Bhaktisiddhanta had left, everyone was fighting. And he said, I can't believe that this will happen. So, because he said, right now we're all fighting each other. How is it that in every town and village of the world, we can't even get to every house in Bengal or Calcutta? So Guru Govinda Shastriji said, I really doubt this prediction. So Prabhupada, who was there at that time, he said, are you doubting the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? And he said, no, I'm not doubting, but I'm thinking perhaps it may not happen. And Prabhupada at that time, who was Abhay Babu, he said, some fool who is dedicated to Bhakti Siddhanta, he will do it. And then he looked at Guru Govinda Shastriji and he said, but not you, because you don't have faith. So anyway, that was back in, at that time in the 40s. So one of our devotees, Bhagwat, when he went to Orissa, and he was preaching in Orissa, he'd gone to Orissa, and one elderly man stopped him in Bhuvaneshwar, and he looked at him and he asked him, he said, who are you, what are you doing here? Because he was shocked to see a Westerner coming and dressed like this. So when finally he started speaking to him, the gentleman was Guru Govinda Shastriji, the same person who was a godbrother of Prabhupada, obviously. So, and when he saw everything and he realized, he showed him the back to Godhead and he saw the picture of Prabhupada. And he was shocked because everyone had lost touch with everyone. So no one knew what was going on. And when he looked at it, he said, this is Abhay Babu. He was shocked. And when Bhagwat, who was trying to make a few life members in Bhuvaneshwar at that time, he realized that this was Prabhupada's godbrother. And he explained to him, not only had he left India, but he had opened hundreds of temples all over the world. So Guru Govinda Shastriji, at that time, he recalled to Bhagwat that I thought that the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will never come. And Abhay Babu had said that some fool that is dedicated to Bhakti Siddhanta, he will do this. He said, now I realize that he was not a pounds and shillings person. He was an empowered individual who did the bidding of the Gaudiya Math, of the thousands of disciples, and I don't know how many sannyasis did Bhaktisiddhanta have. Anyone know? 18. 18 sannyasis.
80 or 180?
And none of them actually did it, but it was a grihastha who was a pounds and shillings person at that time. He took this across. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi was also seen as a pounds and shillings person. So here are some short excerpts on Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. It's very interesting that he was a disciple of his, and he was, of course, he initiated, as we read in the purport today, Gadadhar Pandit, and he was an intimate friend of Swarup Damodar. And the story is that once in Jagannath Puri, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he met Swarup Damodar after a long time. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very enamored in watching the exchange between Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Swarup Damodar. And he became very ecstatic because Pundarik Vidyanidhi was trying to touch the feet of Swarup Damodar, and Swarup Damodar was trying to touch the feet of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And in this way they were going back and forth, but they couldn't grab each other's feet. You know, often devotees do that, got to grab your feet. and they were very, and both of them were very strong individuals, physically as well. So no one was winning, and it became a whole fight. And no one was winning in that way. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took great relish in watching this sporting play. And all the associates were laughing at this. Pundarik Vidyanidhi had many names. And they're as follows. Sri Nidhi. Acharya Nidhi. Bhaktya Nidhi. And the name that's used very much, even in the purport today, is Prema Nidhi, and this was specially given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said the following. He said, simply by hearing his name, the whole world will become purified. Simply by hearing the name Prema Nidhi or Pundarik Vidyanidhi, the whole world will become purified. And this specific pastime, which was given here, is from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, in detail of the narration of Gadadhar Pandit becoming bewildered about Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So I thought we would just read this. It says here that whoever recites or hears the following narration of the meeting of Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Sri Gadadhar Pandit will receive the treasure of love of God. I thought that was well worth hearing today then. We will hear this right now. One day, this is from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, one day after engaging in his ecstatic pastimes of dancing in the circle of devotees absorbed in the congregational chanting of the holy names of Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seated himself and while shedding profuse tears, called at the top of his voice, Pundarik, father, Pundarik is my father, my dear most friend, when will I see you again? He called again and again for Pundarik, but none of the devotees could understand who he was calling for. They thought he was calling for Pundarik Aksha, which means the lotus-eyed Krishna. And he must be feeling separation from Krishna, and hence he's calling out Pundarika. But then again, hearing the name Vidyanidhi, they thought that he must be calling one of his dear devotees. However, none of them were familiar with the devotee by that name. When the Lord regained his external consciousness, they submissively inquired, please, just tell us whom you are crying. We will become blessed to make the acquaintance of such a devotee as dear as this. Where is he to be found? What are his activities? Please tell us the truth in this matter. The Lord replied, you're all very fortunate in desiring to hear about this particular devotee. His characteristics are exceptionally wonderful. And it continues, simply by hearing his name, the world becomes purified. He covers his real self in the guise of an enjoyer of worldly pleasures, and thus no one can recognize that he is a Vaishnav. It is seen that he doesn't take bath in the Ganges due to the fear of touching Mother Ganges with his feet, but he regularly takes darshan of the Ganges at night just to purify himself. To see the indecent activities of the people in general while taking their baths in Mother Ganga, rinsing their mouth in the water, brushing their teeth, combing their hair, causes him much pain. For this reason, he makes it his regular practice only to go to the Ganga at night. So, and hence it continues from there. And what happens from there is that because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much wanted him to come, he finally Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he arrives in Navadvip. And when he arrives, he comes because he's such a wealthy man. Such a wealthy man. He comes with a large entourage of Brahmins, disciples, servants, and vast stocks of personal possessions. It's the ancient removals firms. You know, nowadays you have a big lorry. But there they had hundreds of people that will carry all your possessions for you to the next place. And after he arrived in Navadvip, he kept himself concealed in the guise of an enjoyer or a worldly person. And the only individuals who knew of him were two brothers from Chattigram. Anyone know who that might be? Mukunda and Vasudev Dutt, yes. These were the two brothers. And they knew about how exalted he was. A very good companion of Gadadhar Pandit was Mukunda. So Mukunda, he came one day and he said to Gadadhar Pandit, "Today one very extraordinary Vaishnava has arrived in Navadvip." So when they finally went to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi, this is what they found. They found Pundarik Vidyanidhi reclining on an opulent brass bed covered with red satin sheets, silk pillows, and topped with a three-tiered canopy. A gem-studded pan box stuffed with fragrant spices and betel nuts waited within arm's reach. Two shiny brass spittoons stood on either side. Seeing the mirror stained red from his chewing pan, Pundarik laughed heartily. Two servants on either side fanned him with a peacock fan. You can imagine this picture. You know, he'd come to meet an extraordinary Vaishnava, you know. So he was wondering. So Gadadhar Pandit, he said, was this a Vaishnava? Or was it a prince wallowing in his luxuries? So doubts began to arise in the mind of Gadadhar Pandit. And Mukunda, he saw the face of Gadadhar Pandit, and seeing that he was thinking in this way and misunderstanding Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he recited a verse from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. A very famous verse, which is Aho Bakiyam Stana Kala Kutam, which is that always hankering to taste the blood of small children, Putana came to kill baby Krishna. However, because she offered her breast to the Supreme Lord, Putana attained the greatest blessing of being accepted as a mother of Krishna. So Mukunda, he recited this verse, Aho Bakiyam. And upon hearing this verse, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he became totally transformed. You can imagine, he was lying on this bed, servants, luxuries, everything. All of a sudden he hears this, and what happens? Floods of tears begin to ooze from his eyes. Perspiration rained from his body. His hair stood on end. He ripped off his embroidered silk shirt. He thrashed his legs about. He rolled on the ground. He wailed. And he started shouting, "The Lord is infinitely merciful, yet he deprives me of his mercy." His brass bed, fine sheets, pillows, mirrors, He ripped them to shreds and smashed them all. 10 men, 10 servants tried to calm him down, but they couldn't do it. Of course, nowadays this might be, you know, someone might be high on something or whatever, but this is the real ecstasy here being described here. Where 10 men and his manifestation of love of Krishna immediately erupted upon hearing just one verse. And then he lost consciousness. After witnessing this, Gadadhar Pandit, he realized that he had committed a great offense. And in regarding Pundarik Vidya, needed to be a materialist. And in order to rectify this mistake, he went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he took his permission and he took initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So he realized, I've offended a great Vaishnava, what am I going to do? I can't just leave it there. So he took instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he took initiation from him. So this is interesting. And you know, we may often wonder that Gadadhar Pandit is none other than Radharani. How is it that, and hence, Pundarik Vidyanidhi is Brishabhanu. He's King Brishabhanu in Krishna Leela. So he's the father of Radharani. So we may wonder, how is it that he allowed himself to offend a great Vaishnava? And really, these are all pastimes for us to take instructions from. And Gadadhar Pandit, he showed us how to receive anugraha, which means how to receive the favor of a great soul. And there are many types of offenses that we read about in the scriptures. How many are there? Nama aparad, which we recite every day. There's also dham aparad, which is, if you go to the holy places, there are 10 offenses against holy places as well. So often we don't read them before we go there. So it's a good thing. Before we get to the holy places, we should read those offenses as well. Just as we read the 10 offenses before we chant our japa. So they're called dham aparad. There's also offenses in worshipping the deity. They're called seva aparad. And then finally there is 2 more. Something called jana aparad. Offenses to general living entities. And finally, the one that we're talking about today is called Vaishnav Aparad, to offend the Vaishnavas. So it's interesting, being conscious of Krishna and being cautious of Maya. So this is the cautious part now, of how... So this story really is to give us a focus and... how we can rectify our offenses. So Jiva Goswami, in his writings, he speaks about the fact that if you are attentive in your chanting and if you are attentive in your dealings, these two are the foundations of rapid spiritual advancement. So if you want to take the express route, fast train. Everything is fast nowadays, isn't it? Fast-paced life, fast food, fast broadband. So everybody's looking for fast things. So equally here, there's Jiva Goswami speaking about the rapid spiritual advancement route. And he says, being attentive in chanting and being attentive in your dealings with other Vaishnavas. They're the foundations of rapid advancement. I think a long time ago, Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, when he was here, he gave a 2-day seminar on Jiva Goswami's work, Sundarbas, and he commented at that time that specifically he said that if one offends a Vaishnava, you begin to lose taste for chanting the holy name. If you continue offending, then you can't follow the four regulative principles. If you continue still offending, then you can't stay in the association of devotees. And if you still continue offending, then you can't chant the holy name. So something from Jiva Goswami. They're very interesting, I thought. Because often we wonder, how is it they were here one day, now they've gone, and they're not even chanting Hare Krishna. And Jiva Goswami gives a little synopsis of that. And today's purport is a little bit on that principle. So it all begins with losing, or as it is, we don't have the taste for chanting the holy name. It's very much like jaundice, bitter medicine every morning. And on top of that, if we offend the Vaishnavas, then we'll really start losing the taste for chanting Krishna's holy name. And you know, it is never easy to know the mind of an exalted Vaishnava. There are many exalted Vaishnavas, and we may not recognize them often. As Gaur Govinda Shastriji said, in the Gaudiya Mission, they just thought that Prabhupada was simply a pounds and shillings person. They didn't recognize his greatness in that way. So we respect everyone. You never know who that person is living in the ashram next to you, or sitting next to you today. You don't know who they are at the end of the day. And Prabhupada, in a purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says the following. He says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees who come to this world are executing a mission, and therefore sometimes they act in a way that is difficult to understand. It is said, therefore, anyone remember that verse? Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vijnana Na Bujaya. CC Madhya 2339. That even if one is a very learned and intelligent scholar, he cannot understand the activities of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava accepts anything favorable for executing his mission. But foolish persons, not knowing the purpose of such exalted Vaishnavas, indulge in criticizing them. This is forbidden, since no one can understand what a Vaishnava does for the purpose of executing his mission. To criticize such a Vaishnava is called Sadhu Ninda, Vaishnava Aparan. So Prabhupada just very, very strongly speaking there about Vaishnava. And you know, we may never know someone is an exalted Vaishnava or not. Now, we're not going to meet the Pundarik Vidyanidhis of the world. So, if you know, it's not that we should worry that if we see someone smoking marijuana and we think that they're, you know, and what do they have these things everywhere you go now? They call them the e-cigarettes? No, outside the restaurants, as you smoke away these things. Shisha cafes, there you go. Gurudas knows them. Not that he's been there, but he knows them. Shisha cafes. So people are smoking away, you know, whatever it is. And I think on the BBC website, they said it was 10 times more harmful than smoking cigarettes. But it's the fashion. Everyone is smoking these shisha cafes, not cigarettes. So if someone is there and you think, well, he must be a very exalted Vaishnava because he's... That's quite obvious. He's not in the realm of Pundrik Vidya Nidhi or anything of that nature. But those that are living with us here and amongst us, we should see if, that you never know who they are. Never know who they were in the previous life and who they may become. So we don't want to offend these Vaishnavas which are here. I think Prabhupada very much speaks about this principle of not offending Vaishnavas. And I was thinking, what are the things that we need to do so that we don't offend Vaishnavas? How do we stay happy in the association of devotees and not commit any offenses? It's a tall order. Remaining happy and not committing offenses. And here are some thoughts from a variety of places, but they focus on it. Four things. Sincerity is a very important thing. Sincerity in our intent, sincerity in our purpose, and sincerity in our practice. Three types of sincerities. Very important to remain happy in the association of Vaishnavas and not to commit Vaishnava aparadha. Focus is another one I thought of, because we tend to be splayed in so many ways. Focus, and what do we need to focus on? Only two things: our sadhana and our service. A third thing which is very important to stay happy in the association and not to offend the Vaishnavas is a sense of gratitude for all those that have helped us on this path. You know, we may forget them. Once we are here, we may forget that gratitude that we owe to so many people that have helped us in our path. We may start thinking we're better than them, or we know more than them. But the sense of gratitude for all those that have helped us on this path. And in today's purport, to take it back there, to be non-critical and non-accusing attitude, this aparadha principle. These are some interesting thoughts that I came out with, but they can be hundreds and many. And finally, Prabhupada in the purport speaks about another pastime of Pundrik Vidyanidhi. And that's with, and it's interesting because that's with Lord Jagannath. And this pastime is all again in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, as mentioned there. And Gadadhar Pandit, he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said that I'm having difficulty in reciting the mantra I'd received at initiation, the Gayatri mantra. And can you give it to me again? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that you're treading on dangerous ground. As you have your own guru, you should take that mantra from him again and not me. You should take it from him. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying to Gadadhar Pandit. He said, I can give it to you, but that this is dangerous ground. Take it again from Pundrik Vidyanidhi, who originally gave you that mantra. So, and he said, well, he's nowhere to be seen. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I know he'll be back very shortly in Jagannath Puri. In fact, he said, in 10 days' time, he'll be here. And then he said, now I know why he's coming, because you, by your love, you have pulled him here. Because you've been wanting to take the mantra again from him, so very shortly he'll be here. So Chaitanya Bhagavat says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he said, your guru is Sri Vidya Nidhi. Why are you being unfaithful? Providence can very easily arrange that you meet him again soon. So anyway, he finally arrives, and Gadadhar Pandit gets the mantra. And just soon after that, the festival of Odan Shastri is being celebrated in Puri. Odan Shastri is the festival when starched cloth, brand new cloth, but it's starched, Jagannath is offered that cloth. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi, in hearing of the festival from Surab Damodar, he said, I don't understand this. He said, how is it that starch cloth can be offered to the deities? Because it is so unclean. Because, you know, many people will starch it and it will change hands, and then finally it's immediately then offered to the Lord. He said, instead, the cloth should be cleaned and then it should be offered to the Lord. So Surab Damodar said, this Odan Shastri is a tradition here of Lord Jagannath and his servants. So we can't question it. But Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he said that the servants of Lord Jagannath are not conscientious. And he said that the king's ministers are simply dull-headed. So it's interesting, at one stage Gadadhar Pandit is not recognizing him and committing offenses, and Pundarik Vidyanidhi now is doing the same. But these are all pastimes of the Lord for many, many purposes. And so Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he accused the pandits of Puri very much in this way. So anyway, Surab Damodar and Pundarik Vidyanidhi at that time then went back, and they took rest that night in a dream. Pundarik Vidyanidhi saw two personalities, Lord Jagannath and Lord Balaram, triumphantly and rushing towards him. And Lord Jagannath was in a very angry mood, and Balaram caught hold of his neck, and they both started slapping him in the face. You know, it was like... And it didn't stop there, because the two brothers teamed up and began to slap him on both sides for a long time. And not only was it a long time, because Lord Jagannath and Balaram, they have many rings. So their fingers, they marked the face of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and his face became very swollen. So finally, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he immediately begged for forgiveness. And Lord Balaram and Lord Jagannath said to him, who are you to be telling my servants what they should and shouldn't be doing? So Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he said, this is all in a dream, he said, you have properly punished that mouth which laughed at your servants. And but then Pundarik Vidyanidhi says, today is most auspicious day, because you have made me the most fortunate person by slapping my face with your lotus hands. And then Lord Jagannath, he replied, because I consider you also to be my dear devotee, I have shown you this special favor. And upon hearing this, Pundarik Vidyanidhi woke up. And he thought it was a dream. And when he woke up, he realized that his cheeks were swollen. And Swarup Damodar, he entered his house immediately that morning. And when he saw him, he saw that there were finger marks on his cheeks with rings on them. And then Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he told him all that had happened. That yesterday, last night, we were, at least I was laughing at the servants of Lord Jagannath. So he personally came and he slapped me. And he said, I cannot come out until the swelling has gone down. So I will not come out this morning to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this was the exalted Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And these two pastimes are being mentioned in the purport of Gadadhara Pandit and Lord Jagannath. And he is one of the associates of the Lord. And you know, all of these pastimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, really, they speak about the fact that our devotional life starts when we come out of our comfort zone. Bhakti begins when we come out of our comfort zone. And, you know, service starts when we start experiencing some pain as well. No pain, no gain, they say. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita has many of these examples through many of these pastimes, just to remind all of us of our devotional career.